Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at
1-800-800-3333.
Hey, Rex.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
One more time, just for fun. We welcome in here to the Friday, January 3rd edition of D-Lo and KC.
Damn, it's the 3rd already?
Year's flying by. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
Here we are live.
Slums of Sacramento.
Speaking I don't even think we told the people who we were yesterday.
No, we definitely
We were just
didn't.
So flustered that the Kings actually won.
We didn't know what to do. We spent so much time live debating playing like the Beatles or not. Speaking of...
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
Did you see that little drop from the Golden One Center today?
No.
The go-home show to WrestleMania is at the Golden One Center.
Oh, snap.
All right, we'll
bro.
Be there. I'll be
hey,
there.
Hey, come on,
yeah.
Man. Yeah.
And I'm going to just tell you guys right now.
Live on Netflix.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to tell you guys right now, on whatever Monday that is, you'll be listening to Frankie, what's his name? Freddie Coleman for the last hour, because we're going to have to get there.
Well, yeah, right.
3
yeah.
o'clock, Freddie Coleman's coming.
Tune in to the best of 1320 that day.
We'll run it back beginning at 3
Hell
o'clock.
Hell yeah, I'll be there. Day. That's yeah. cool.
I think it's April 14th. That seems really
Wait, no, it's got to be the week before, because I remember it was a whole dilemma. Kenny has a wedding to go to, I think.
No, because
the week before.
Yeah, well,
WrestleMania is the week after.
Yeah, I think
so. I think it's
right.
the 14th is WrestleMania. The show should be the week before, no?
No, the WrestleMania is the 20th.
Oh, the 20th?
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, the 19th.
19th. Got it.
Yeah, so it's April 14th, Raw at the Golden One Center, the go-home show.
I did not see that. That's going to be
WrestleMania.
Fire.
Yeah, that's big.
Joe, we got to get a boy on. Come on, man. He got to come talk to us.
Who's
from the worst slums of Sacramento.
Oh, yeah, we got to see if we can get him in here, man. We got to see if we can get him in here.
Yeah, man.
Well, we kind of thought this was going to be the case. It was confirmed earlier. First person I saw confirm is Sean Cunningham. Shout out, Sean, for all of his great work. Devin Carter will make his debut for the Sacramento Kings tonight. Okay. After a couple of runs in Stockton. Devin Carter will make his debut. It's certainly an interesting story to follow. Given that Cam Johnson hurt his ankle on the very last play of the game last night against the in salute to the Nets in their win against the Milwaukee Bucks, kind of a wild fourth quarter that I was able to catch the last few minutes of. He's hurt. Mm-hmm. The imaging is clean, for whatever that means, but all reports from the beat writers there in Brooklyn, he was in very pain, and he was on crutches, and it wasn't one of those crutches, you know, he was hurting. Yeah. Like, he was uncomfortable. So, regardless of what his future is in Brooklyn or elsewhere, Cam Johnson is going to miss some time.
I'm thinking,
moving forward.
Be honest with you, I'm thinking a month.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought. I thought 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, because Brandon Ingram hurt his ankle. He's been out for about a month,
mm-hmm.
hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, not all ankle sprains are the same, but like you said, looking at Cam Johnson, hearing the reports and stuff like that doesn't seem like evaluating a week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That seems
No. Definitely not.
Yeah, that seems like something he gonna be out for a while. So, look, you may just be stuck. The thing with Cam Johnson, too, who I really like, and nobody can explain this to me. You know, maybe you can call in on the Kia, Elk Grove Kia talk line.
Oh my God, Tim EV6s. Bro, I parked next to one yesterday. Oh my God.
Those things are cold.
Oh my God, those cars are
cold.
So nasty.
Man.
Those cars are so nasty.
Need to get my hands on one.
I mean, hey, Elk Grove Kia.
Need to get my hands on one. Talk to your boys. Let's go.
Talk to your boys.
But yeah, hit me up, 916-909. Hit us up, 916-909-1320. And I know that we want help to the roster, but how do we get help to the roster without giving up the roster?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Cam Johnson is going to cost you at least two players. It's going to be a negative one.
Well, yeah, I mean,
like, you give up two to get one back, you're negative one in rotation guys. Devin Carter might be back, or, you know, so maybe that would help. And that's what I was saying yesterday. Maybe I'm not trying to stall him out, but maybe Monty couldn't even make a move until Devin Carter got back, because you're not gonna have enough people.
Yeah, to tie into what you're saying at Brooklyn. Well, of course, it's that time of year. You know, we're a month out or whatever it is. Brooklyn was like, yeah, the Cam Johnson deal is not going to be the Dorian Finney-Smith deal.
That price is not today.
We see them as two very different players. Like, we don't have to trade Cam Johnson. Mm-hmm. And that's the tough thing when you're going after a player. Like, I mean, New Orleans can let Ingram's contract expire. They probably don't want to, but you can.
Right.
But they would prefer to trade him, I'm certain.
Right.
The Nets don't have to do anything with Cam Johnson. Mm-hmm. And they're, I think, let me pull the standings up. I thought they were two games above 500. That's wrong. They're well below 500.
Like,
I don't know what.
They're
way below 500. I don't know where. But I was thinking.
I saw an article.
But they're still in the mix.
They really are. Shout out to the East.
Well. I mean, Kings are no different.
Well, that's another thing. The West, like I said yesterday, as tough as it may be on paper, it's given all out of these teams, the Kings, the Timberwolves, the Suns, it's given them an opportunity, because nobody has really, like, ran away from four down.
Yeah, the Atlanta Hawks are 18-16. They're in the seventh spot. Everyone below them are below 500. Pacers, shout out to Tyrese. We get our Tyrese jokes off. That was a hell of a performance from him.
I beat the hell out of them boys.
And in the West, the top 10 teams are above 500.
Above 500, but like a game or two.
Yeah, 17-16. It was above 500, 17-16.
No, you're right. But but you know, the thought of the Western Conference is like, oh man, the top nine teams are going to be six games over 500. This may be, and a lot of people don't like to see this, but as we get further and further away from it, we got to call a spade a spade. This may be more like the Beam Team 1 year. At least from, like, four down. You know, I think the top three are going to have these
three
super
down. It feels
contracts.
Like three down for sure.
Yeah, are going to have the, or not contracts, these super records
that
you would expect. But 46 wins may get you a five seed, six seed this
year.
We'll
talk more about this later. The shakeout of the Western Conference and the way that these teams are playing is kind of fascinating. With the exception of Oklahoma City, Memphis, in Houston, every team is like roller coastering through the season. That includes Denver, by the way. That's 19-13 now because they're on, you know, they're having their run up. They had their run down. The Clippers have kind of they've been pretty steady.
Yeah.
They've been pretty steady, but not at like an elite level and not steady at a low level.
Right. They just Kings, haven't had a six-game losing streak.
The Kings are one of the only teams in the mix that haven't really had a high. They've just had enough and then a series of lows.
I was going to say, yeah, they did. I was going to say, did Phoenix have a high? But they started off really good, right? They started off really
good. Yeah, Phoenix. Yeah,
and
Phoenix,
then KD
absolutely.
Got hurt.
Yeah.
And they haven't been the same.
Phoenix is out.
Yeah.
Phoenix is out right now.
They haven't been the same since Kevin
Durant
got
hurt. KD's first injury.
Yeah. Yep. He's come back. Everybody's come back.
Yep.
And they haven't been able to cook. So, yeah, it's just you still have more time than you realize if you're the Kings because of the way things have played out around you. There's still teams around you that you didn't think maybe would be around you a month ago. One other thing about that Brooklyn situation you talked about, they don't have to trade Cam Johnson. I saw an article. I think maybe Jill Adge had like retweeted a quote or something like that. And take it for what it's worth. You know, it could just be media stuff. But I think it was Sean Marks had talked about a conversation he had with Jordy. And Jordy told him when he went to sign there, he's like, look, I'm here to win. I'm going to try to win. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. Like, I don't know what you guys got going on or what you think is going on with tanking, but that's not how I'm going to coach. And Sean, allegedly, according to him, okayed that. I was like, yeah, fine. Like, win.
I saw
we're trying
something.
To have a culture of winning here, and we're not here to tank and do all this other stuff. So I bring that up to say when you talked about how they're not in a rush to get rid of Cam Johnson, like, no, they look at him as possibly the future unless they're blown away by a deal.
Yeah. I saw it must have been a quote from that article from Sean Marks where Jordy's just not built like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jordy is hyper competitive. Like, he's not going to. He's not built for a purposeful down year.
Yeah.
Go out there and try to win games.
Yep.
And I would think, I feel like there has to have been, and I don't know, we podding, like there's got to be a study on teams that are allegedly tanking and what that does to their coach, their players, like how that all kind of manifests itself. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, what's it, Brent Brown? What's his name? Is it Brent Brown?
Brett Brown.
Thank you. Yeah. The 76ers coach. Like, yeah, hey, all right, we're going to give you a shot. You're not going to have much time after the tank to show us that you can coach.
Yeah, a year and a half.
Pretty much.
Yeah, well, it's like trying to coach while your organization's actively working against you.
Yeah, and like whether you guys are working together on that, doesn't matter if it's against the objective of winning, it's killing you.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, that man didn't get another job.
No, he didn't.
Not a head coaching job.
I don't know where he's at right now.
I don't either, come to think about
it. He might be in high school. He might be in the Metro League.
He might be in an HBCU.
He might be in HBCU. Shout out Brett Brown, man, at Howard Homecoming.
The internet says he's an assistant for the Spurs.
Okay.
Oh, good for him. I thought he was at Morgan State's homecoming.
That'd be dope.
Yeah, he's been with the Spurs the last three seasons.
Yeah, I see it.
But yeah, I mean,
he's also 63. That's like the trajectory of coaches is getting a little bit younger. Mm-hmm. So
I'd like to see that study too about what that does. Not only that year, but moving forward. Like, if you are tanking for 2 years and then you ask those guys to start winning, the players included, the third and fourth, like, what does that do? Or do they know how to do that? Are they invested? Like, I wonder what that would look like.
Or, like, you've taken 3 years off my career.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
2 years off, 1 year off of my career. You're taking time off of my career. Because you guys can't get it together as an organization. My time in this game is limited.
Mm-hmm. That's facts. I saw a study one time on the correlation between winning and high fives. Somebody tracked all the dap ups that a team has and I can't remember exactly like the...
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Record, but probably because they're doing good things, but the winning teams had a higher percentage of dap ups.
Well, there's good vibes and all that too. Like, I'm not going to dap you up if we're beefing or whatever.
Right.
There's got to be, like, again, I'm sure there's some program, but I also envision the assistant coach going, okay, one, two,
doing the, they have three, a little clicker like the, four, the right. boxing coach.
What was the other stat that we, oh, the passes. Jay Triano back there watching the film. One, two, three. Oh, just three. Damn.
Just three. I lost count.
Lost count.
Damn. I mean, we dab each other up when we see each other, and it's like, yeah, we're pretty good show, huh?
We're winning. Do the others do that?
Doubt it.
Okay, we'll come back. Oh, this is where we are today. Kyle Madsen going to join us here in just a heartbeat. Eddie Gonzalez, I think, is going to be with us later on in the show. James Hamm will be back with us, perhaps in person. We'll all find out together. Stilo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. It's fine. You don't have to do
that. I'm going to go buy four donuts. In fact, you know what? I am going to do donuts, but 1320
only. 1320
only
donuts?
1320 only, because I know it's going to be six people.
What are your favorite donuts?
Chocolate ones.
Oh, okay.
You like the ones?
Is that it? I mean, is there anything
with
else?
Peanuts on it.
You look like that's not the donut you eat too.
Well,
there's two of them on the plate.
No, the good donuts. Just good donuts.
They're great donuts.
Do you think that's?
I'm out on Donut Friday at least for the month of January.
All right, dude. Do
dry January.
Dry January.
I'm supporting. Indeed. I'm supporting. I'm not out on Donut Friday, but I'm supporting you.
You'll get two with the nuts.
You'll
then.
Get two.
Whoa.
All right. You know what? You were playing crazy on the inside. So that's a flag. You need to relax.
This guy's running around like what's my man's name? Who's the guy on Cincinnati? They used to be on Cincinnati.
Oh, Vontae.
Corona Centennial legend, Vontaze Burfict.
That guy was a menace.
Is that the Bay Area school?
No, it's Corona is in Southern California.
Oh, Corona. I thought you said something else.
They beat De La Salle.
Mm.
Vontaze.
What was their quarterback's name? Corona Centennial had a quarterback. Mike Scott? Is that his name?
I don't know. Mike Scott used to play for the
Hawks. Shout out to the Atlanta Hawks, yeah.
And tattoos. Draymond Madsen.
He had the emoji. He was like the first to have the emoji tattoos.
Knocked down a three like no one else.
You can shoot it. Did you guys, this is, I just thought about this when I thought about high school. Did you see the clip of Ricky Williams? I guess he did Johnny Manziel's podcast.
Mm-mm.
And I'd actually like to see it. I want to see what he's talking about. But there was just a clip of like on his Heisman year. He came back. He could have left. He came back, and he was talking about, like, yeah, I didn't start off very good. Then I find out my girlfriend's dating a quarterback, and I'm just like, wait, what? His quarterback.
Oh.
His girlfriend was dating his quarterback. And I think it was Applewhite was the quarterback.
Major Applewhite?
Yeah.
Okay. Matt Scott was the guy's name who I was thinking of, by the way. Quarterback Corona Centennial. Mm. They lost to De La Salle 37-31. Vontaze Burfict was on that team. Sorry.
But this is all over the place. Did Applewhite go to Tennessee?
Texas.
He went to Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, that was his quarterback at Texas?
Yeah.
Oh.
So he came back to
high school.
He came back. No, he came back to school because he could have left.
Oh, after the Heisman season. Yeah. After the Heisman season. Yeah,
and he's like, oh, man, I came back and, you know, my girlfriend's dating a quarterback now and. I'm just like, why did I come back? And then he said he had a smoke session for the first time, and that's when everything changed.
Well, he said, too, before the smoke session, he ran for 46 yards, I think, against Kansas State.
Yeah.
And then after the smoke session, he had back-to-back 300-yard games.
Back-to-back.
Are we on right now?
300-yard games.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is.
Oh, great.
Radio
I hope
show.
We are. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out Ricky Williams, my favorite player.
That's my bad. I didn't mean to do the whole Matt Scott thing on the radio. No, I didn't hear we were
fine.
Back.
You said he's your favorite player?
Yeah, he's my favorite player all the time.
Who?
Oh, Ricky Williams. A Dolphin too,
yeah.
Because I was about to say more. Did you? I hate doing this with Jesse. You watch Reggie Bush, right?
I hate. Yeah, no, you're right. I hate. Yes. Stop. No. See, now I'm mad again. Now I'm mad, and it's
I wasn't
Friday.
Sure.
Yes. Reggie Bush is the greatest football player, college football player I ever saw.
But I was only like 14 when Reggie Bush was Reggie Bush, and so you were like what, 9?
Yeah, but I remember Reggie.
All right.
Texas, Vince Young.
No, that's not disrespectful for Kenny to ask.
Reggie had 2 years.
I'm usually on Jesse's side.
He had 2 years, the sophomore and the junior year.
Real Reggie? Ones remember Maurice Drew at UCLA.
Oh, yeah.
Maurice Drew went crazy.
Yeah. He was sick.
He went crazy.
Dennis Al, Antioch legend, 925, stand up.
Polo in the chatty house thinks, KC thinks I'm Gen Z. I'm with you, KC.
Did you guys see?
I'm with you. I'm millennial. With me.
Are you a millennial?
Did yes. you guys see?
Barely.
There's a new generation that started with the babies born
Yeah, it's
now.
Gen Alpha,
I
right?
I don't know.
It's Generation Beta.
Yeah. New Ooh, generation tough. Started with
oh,
the babies.
That's a tough. That's yeah. tough. Yeah. Generation Beta
yeah.
is
that
tough.
Yeah, insane. That off right there. Yeah,
they,
I couldn't imagine.
That ain't. That is not it.
Couldn't be me.
I'm giving every baby I see all the smoke.
Generation baby Beta. Is that real?
Oh,
oh it is.
Oh, that's tough. That is tough. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, that is tough.
Oh, no.
What generation?
Bitch, you're a beta baby. Get out of my face.
That you is know, cold game.
You know, for me as a millennial, I'm like, hey, you know what? I salute our Gen Z overlords. Like, I get it. Like, I rock with Gen Z.
Thank you. Wait, am I millennial or Gen
Z? Yeah, we're millennial, Kenny.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Gen Z is the generation after me. If I was Generation Alpha, Generation Beta could never tell me anything. There's not one thing Generation Beta could say that would make me.
Is that what it is? Is
Gen
Alpha? Alpha was like.
After Gen Z.
They've already done Alpha.
No, I don't think so. No, I think it just went Gen Z and then Generation Beta. I don't know
how
the names go about.
No, there was a Generation Alpha for sure.
Well, the math ain't mathing.
The math definitely
not mathing. Because there's millennial,
Gen Z.
Generation Alpha is 2010 to 2024.
Oh, wow.
Generation Beta begins in 2025. It begins now and goes till 2039.
So it's just bitch babies born all year.
Just know.
That's crazy.
If you are getting pregnant at any point over the next 14 years, you're giving birth to a little bitch. Just know that. Jesse.
I guess I'm adopting.
Jesse.
I'm adopting.
Jesse.
I guess I'm adopting.
Hey, you're going to have to tell Crystal. Babe, hang on.
I'm going to adopt a kid born in 2005.
We got
14 years.
Just going to have to hold out.
Next time Heather brings up kids, babe, can do it.
2039. Talk to me then.
Well, actually, 2040. 2040.
50.
Oh, my God.
My family line just cut.
60, oh, 60, man.
68-year-old Kyle Madsen at the graduation.
Kyle.
I'll put you at 83.
Just on my deathbed, like, wow, why'd you never have any kids? My kid wasn't going to be no bitch.
What? Well, look, Kyle, don't worry. We can start calling you Kyle De Niro, Kyle Pacino. Oh, them boys get it in.
Pacino,
they get active.
Was at 83.
Yeah, they get active.
Call that a medical miracle.
Yeah.
Kyle De Niro.
I mean, you'd have to leave Heather and date a black woman for it to be truly accurate. That's the only way it works. And she has to be at least 30 years younger than you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I can do that. As long as she's
not
always
Megan Thee Stallion Jr. here in 30 years. All to avoid the beta baby.
Damn, who gave him that name? That's not okay.
That's awful. You have set these children up for failure.
You have to. I get what they were doing. Like they went through the whole whatever the American alphabet is called, the Gothic alphabet. I forget what it's called.
That's good knowledge.
But whatever the American alphabet is called, they went through all that. Now they're going to the Greek alphabet. You have to have some social awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know when you commit. Okay, Greek alphabet's next. Makes sense, all right? We know all the letters. Greek alphabet's next. You have to read the room on Gen Beta.
Yeah.
We got to know. We got to make a play. We got to skip that one. And when people say, hey, why isn't there a Gen Beta? They wouldn't get Beta out before they understood the answer to their question.
Now, see, this is a problem, though. Let me see. I'm trying to look here. Yeah, see, it's a little
bit
of a
problem. Who cares about Devin Carter's debut tonight?
It's for the second day in a row.
Devin Carter, Gen Z,
or Devin
salute.
Carter. You said they went through the alphabet. They really didn't, unless I'm missing something. When they just started at Y.
Really?
Yeah, we got baby boomers. Like, I just Googled right now, what's Generation A? And
Jesus.
Well, that's what I thought they would say, but they Adam, just go straight to Alpha.
That's it.
Cain and Abel were Generation B. Cain and Abel. So they didn't have to do these people like that.
That's wild.
They didn't have to do these people like that. Like you said, read the room.
Yeah, you got to make a play.
Okay, wait a minute. Hey, stand by. Well, okay. I'm trying. What was the first? Okay, so I guess the first generation was the greatest generation.
Was that like the
20s? Well, that's well, sort of. And how egotistical is that? This is an AI response, by the way. To be clear, this is an AI response.
They're
this
about
is
so stupid.
This yeah. is an, but it looks like it's accurate because I see the guide below. The greatest generation is 1901 to 1924.
False.
Settle down.
Tell me Shoeless Joe Jackson was part of the greatest generation. No chance.
We're the greatest generation, sir.
Yeah, no chance.
The silent generation is 25 to 45.
Yeah, that right. The silent because they had silent movies and stuff. I think is why they called it.
Knowledge. Baby but, boomers you, start to hit from 1946 to 1964.
Who are your people calling?
You know why? That's why Posney's next.
Wait a second.
Hey, do you know why they're called baby boomers? Do you know why they called them that?
They had a bunch
that?
Of babies there. Yeah,
yeah post-World War II, people just started
I remember
getting after it.
Mr. Liminoff in my U.S. history class, never forget, I think my sophomore year. We watched Saving Private Ryan in class.
That's so wild.
That was crazy.
And we did the same thing.
The guy was walking around getting his arm.
Yeah.
I said, wow.
What an incredible movie.
Generation X is 65 to 80.
That's you.
The civil rights generation. me and Dr. King was out there just trying to save the world. The whole JFK. And then there's the millennial generation, which is also known as Generation Y.
Mm.
That's 81 to 96.
Well, that's us.
Barely and then made the cut. Shout out.
Yeah, yeah. Gen Z, which is also known as iGen.
They're a little strange.
Which is 97 to 2010. And then, as covered, the Generation Alpha, which is 10 to 24, and Beta. Which begins now.
Damn.
Which is just right. Which just give every up. Baby born in the last
every baby
days.
From now to the next 14 years getting laughed at as soon as they're born.
Lie about your age. What year were you? 19. I was born in 2024.
December 31, 11/59/59. It was crazy.
Just made it.
Oh, man. Damn. Jeez. Sorry, Beta.
Shout out to the kid that made it under the cutoff.
Man.
Shout out to that 11/59/59 December 31
it.
Baby.
Just
can we get some
it.
Clarification on the silent generation too? Cole Lamb comes in the chat. Silent was because they were born in World War and Depression, not because of the movies.
Well, no, it's
because
of the movies.
Well, I think both can be true.
It's because of the movies.
One seems a lot happier than the other.
Well, right, that's a fact that I made up, so
we'll stick with that one.
I'm just going to rock with it. If I say it enough times, it becomes the truth, right?
You said it confidently enough.
Thanks.
Who going to check?
I think everybody's wrong. The silent generation famously got their name for being so conformist that they were silent through the McCarthy era when the fear of communism swept the country.
Or is it the
should have been more like us, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, copper. Yeah. Called the greatest generation, and not once did anybody execute a crossover.
Was
That's
that
crazy.
The was Koozie?
Not one jump Koozie shot was shot by the greatest generation.
Was that the honeymooners? Was that the great generation? Who were they? Like the 30s, 40s?
The honeymooners? Talking about to the moon, Alice?
Yeah.
That was like the 50s, right?
One of these days.
That has to have been baby boomer generation.
Oh. Sorry.
Like when the show was on.
Okay. Yeah.
They were probably all born.
Well, they were probably born in the.
They were probably born in the greatest generation.
That's what I was saying, sorry.
What year did that debut?
The greatest.
Speaking of debuts, by the way, Devin Carter might make his debut tonight. Okay, back to.
1901 is when the greatest generation began. The greatest generation lived through the Great Depression and then went off to fight in World War II. Notably, they popularized jazz and swing music, but don't be fooled by the wild provocations of the cultural preferences of the times.
The wild provocation, saying.
Due to the current events of this generation, the challenge of raising a family put a premium on traits like hard work and grit.
Did they know any words besides great? It's the greatest generation. There was the Great War, which is what World War I was called. They had the Great Depression. Like, adjectives, y'all, come on.
Generation kind of stinks, I'm not going to lie.
Pre-thesaurus generation.
Not going to lie.
Generation kind of stinks. Oh, man.
Hey, the greatest generation kind of on fraud watch right now for me.
George Mike and ass generation.
Oh,
Jesus.
Oh, the finger roll from George Mike and, oh, boy. Look at that razzle dazzle.
He's still quick, see? Look at that. They wouldn't call it a crossover then. Change of direction. Honeymooners started in 1950, so they were all in the golden, greatest generation.
Isn't that boomers?
Although,
greatest generation definitely on fraud watch, because they tried to tell us Jim Thorpe was the greatest athlete, and we kind of uncovered that.
Well,
he wasn't born then, but that was happening during that time.
Also, what era convinced us that Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points in one game?
I think that was the
boomers. Is that baby boomers?
That's the greatest generation, because they perpetuated one of the greatest
lives.
And
they've stuck with it all of these years.
I'm not going to disrespect Wilt Chamberlain. He scored.
Okay.
Are you sure?
Hey, no, I'm not sure.
Does anyone have tickets from that game? Well, no. Is there a box score? No.
He's got the picture.
Is there film? Well,
he's got the picture.
Okay. There's more evidence that Moses parted the Red Sea than there is that Wilt Chamberlain actually scored
100. It's like a book about that.
There are several accounts of Moses parting the Red Sea. There's one picture of Wilt Chamberlain and an audio broadcast that was found like 50 years later. You ever hear the video? And this is why I'm suspect of all this stuff. You ever hear the video of, what is the exact line? There's a problem with the motorcade. Shots have been fired at the motorcade or something. It's something along those lines from Dallas, the JFK.
Okay.
No,
that's not real.
Really?
They went into the studio and recorded it later. That's not, or I always thought that was a radio broadcast, television broadcast. It's not. It's a recording that was made later.
That's so crazy.
I hadn't
so
heard
forgive
of it.
Me if I'm not sold on the found Wilt Chamberlain audio.
What else
game.
Is fake?
They used to when they would broadcast baseball, because they wouldn't like travel, right?
Yeah.
So I would, if I was the broadcaster, they would send in like the ticker. Like the
tick, 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 tick,
yeah, the
tick, tick,
tick, tick, yeah, they'd send tick, that in tick, tick. And I'd be reading it, and I forget. Was it Reagan would call baseball games? Kenny's favorite president.
Not my favorite president.
So he would like call, but when he was calling the game, sometimes the ticker would like jam. And so he had to figure out how. Your face.
Reagan's ticker jammed. Who knew?
I might throw you out for that one.
Well, no, we were talking about the. I wish I knew what that thing was called, so I didn't have to say
ticker,
the ticker. The telegram. Yeah, I think that's what it was.
No, telegram isn't it something you deliver?
Is it?
Well, no, but it is. But I think it's still.
Is it the?
Yeah.
Whatever.
I think
the thing
it was called telegram.
He had to like improvise when that machine would stop working. So he tried to figure out what was in the box score that wouldn't show up, and he realized that it was foul balls. So sometimes he would just have these long at bats where there was just nothing coming through the ticker. And he'd have
damn,
to read it.
Improvising.
Yeah, that's how they used to do that.
Hey,
that's crazy.
So we really have UFO footage, no Wilt footage.
No?
Yo.
Oh, I mean.
I'm out.
I'm not judging.
I'm out.
Scored 100.
I'm out on Wilt.
You scored 100. You know who else used the ticker?
Mm-hmm.
John Sterling. that's how we got. It's high. It is far.
It is.
It's caught.
What did I do wrong?
And there it goes.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
It's Aaron Judge. And there it goes. High to left field. And caught.
It is gone. But caught.
Nah. Goddamn.
One time when I was calling a Sac State game, because we call Sac State games for the student-run radio station, not our guy Jason Ross, who broadcasts the games here on ESPN 1320.
That's ESPN 1320.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love him.
That's our guy.
It
was
come
like,
on the show, but...
It was very, very, very early on in my broadcasting career, I was doing play-by-play of football with my buddy Nate. And Sac State ran this like read option that I just did not recognize as a read option. And so I'm watching the running back, and I see the running back get tackled, and then they spot the ball like on the other hash mark, like way on the other, like 10 yards down the field. And I'm like, I'm not sure where they're getting this spot. And Nate just goes, he didn't have the ball, dude.
I'm not sure where they're getting this spot.
It was a tough go. What's that, Charlie?
Western Union Teletype.
A teletype, a Western Union teletype, of course.
Charlie invented them.
That's crazy. That's so mean.
Charlie worked for the Western Union teletype.
His last name is actually Western Union.
If you text Charlie, it takes him a long time to respond because he's using the Western Union teletype.
T-H-A-T. Seriously, though. Devin Carter.
So really, we're going to go seriously and talk about Devin Carter?
This is syllabus week, bro. We started school on Thursday. What do you expect?
This is true.
We got 4 minutes to talk about Devin Carter.
Put the movie on. I was going to ask a 49ers thing, too. It don't even matter at this point.
11th or 14th.
No, we could. It doesn't. We could. This might be the last time we talk about him all year.
No.
Well, all season.
Yeah.
Because we'll talk about him in March or something. But
yeah. Go ahead. Devin Carter's debut.
The 2043 draft is going to have a bunch of Gen Beta dudes in it. That's brutal. Man. Go ahead.
Son. And you know what? They're not going to draft him.
Nope.
Drafting him. Oh no, man!
The leagues will stop.
It's gonna be the talk of like the draft. Like, hey, how do you? You're a Gen Beta.
As where sports stops, it just stops. Like with the alphas, those are the last players. The leagues just stop.
That's gonna be the last real football player. That's Vince McMahon's new idea.
Oh no,
a new football league with the last real football players,
the last real men
from Gen Alpha.
Don't give him any ideas.
No.
He's back too. By the way, he's back. He can make decisions.
Back where?
Well, he's back. Like he ain't worried about nothing no more.
Oh, you mean he's back because of the president?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, he's fine.
We thought he was going up the creek.
He ain't going nowhere.
He ain't going nowhere.
He ain't even been charged with anything yet. And Donald's like, you're good, bro. You're fine. Go buy a company or something. You're just fine.
What, a cabinet spot?
Yeah. You know, right. You could work right next to your wife. And he's like, no, I don't want that. don't give me that spot. Just give me something else.
Oh, man.
Devin Carter.
Devin Carter. So, look. He's playing against G Leaguers.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing what he's supposed to do as an NBA guy.
Yes.
Against these G Leaguers.
Yep.
He looks really good, though. He looks like really good. I like what I see from him.
I think it was Fox 40 Sean Cunningham that had the footage of him blocking the.
That block was
the corner
crazy.
Three.
That was kind of
I've never
crazy.
Seen somebody send a jump shot like 8 rows deep.
Man, and I don't know if you saw the same thing, Kyle, but it looked like when the pass happened and the shot was going on, it looked like. All right, Devin Carter's going to, like, kind of close out.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little short. He's a little far away. So he's just going to kind of close out. And then he just, like, kind of exploded and didn't get a piece of it. He blocked the shot.
Yes, got.
That just kind of looked crazy to me. I was like, my goodness.
Yeah, that was an impressive play. Yeah. I just don't know. The question I keep bringing up, and James and I talked about this a little bit on the Insiders, 10 a.m. to noon right here on ESPN 1320.
Great show.
I don't know. Where does he play?
So
if we're clamoring for more Keon Ellis minutes,
it's
which I'm there for.
It's the Herter minutes.
Yeah.
It's the Herter minutes. I don't know.
You gotta stop.
You're awfully small.
You gotta stop living on a prayer with him, though. That's my thing with Kevin Herter. Like at some point you just have to go, all right, like how many chances does Kevin get?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of where like it doesn't have to be Keon. It could be Kevin.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I think
someone's got to go. Like, so over the next month, someone has to go, or it doesn't work.
Somebody taller than 6'6" needs to enter the building.
That'd be great.
So the thing with Herter, who, like, I understand, like, you're a little smart, because what's Devin Carter, like, 6'2", 6'3", or 6'2". Something like
that? 6'2", without shoes.
I'm not trying to...
Big wingspan, though.
Super big.
6'9", I think. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm not trying to, like, disrespect Herter, but it feels like you get taller, you get more physical, even though Devin Carter is short.
Yeah, you probably. We haven't seen him play defense yet, so I don't. Maybe he's just this awesome defender, and being 6'3 doesn't matter, and he can be GP2 just running around defending guys who are 6-7 inches taller than him.
I don't want to say because we haven't seen it, but it kind of feels that way. Like
that's what they need. Like if he's going to be successful here, that's what he needs to be.
Yeah, it feels like. Even though the height, there is a difference in the height, it feels like you get better, you get more physical on defense if you just switch out Carter for Herter.
Yeah, I think so. At least in theory, for sure. I'm also wondering what he does, and I know at Providence he played on and off the ball. But I don't know in the G League how much off ball he's been playing, or if it's just been him with the Rock.
Go showcase.
Yeah.
Go show us what you got.
And then when he gets to the NBA, obviously he's not going to have the ball a lot. So what does that look like offensively for him? I'm really intrigued. Because if he's good, it changes the entire complexion of what the Kings roster looks like.
If he's good, Doug's got a lot to figure out because of your original question. Like, someone's going to lose time. Well, this was enlightening. We'll come back. We'll talk more about Devin Carter. Big thanks to Kyle Mattson. Make sure you check out all of his great work covering the San Francisco 49ers over at NinersWire.com. And, of course, the Candlestick Chronicles podcast. But we'll stick with Devin Carter. His debut tonight at the Golden 1 Center, what he did last night for the Stockton Kings, and what this might mean for the Sacramento Kings moving forward. That's all ahead here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Amir threw Tyler Hero down so hard he fell. He threw him I'd be pissed if I was Tyler Hero too. He probably didn't think he was really in a fight and he got thrown to the ground.
That was a crazy little scuffle.
Yeah, that was a little.
It went from 0 to 100 real quick.
Yeah, that was a little something. That was a little something. I wonder if Devin Carter could fight. He looked like he could fight.
I think he can.
Devin Carter looked like
he could. Yeah, I think he's a tough dude.
Devin Carter looked like he'll throw Tyler Hero to the ground.
He's a tough dude, man. He looked like a tough dude. I think it's really cool, and I'm glad this worked out, that his dad will be here to see his first NBA game. Anthony Carter on the bench of the Memphis Grizzlies. Anthony Carter was at the game last night, too, or the Stockton Kings game last night. And, you know, potentially – Devin Carter playing his first NBA game, and you know his dad, who otherwise wouldn't be able to be there because of his job, gets an opportunity to be there. Man, seems like it's going to be a great moment. Salute to both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. We had started to hear rumors of a potential G League debut for Devin Carter on December 28th, maybe a week prior, a little over a week prior. And, you know, Math started having it like it's just a question of whether he's going to play one or two games. So his debut should be his NBA debut should be either against Philadelphia or against Memphis. And here we are with the Sacramento Kings winning two in a row under Doug Christie. Devin Carter getting I don't want to say he's getting the call up like he is a Sacramento King. His assignment in Stockton is over. And it's time for him to play basketball, and he's entering a situation, unfortunately, where he has a lot of pressure on him.
It does.
Because the Kings need him to be good, and that's tough. Like, not only do we need you to be good as a rookie, we need you to be good as a rookie coming off of an injury. It sure looks like, and I haven't checked the update today, I don't know if he's officially been ruled out. I definitely got the feeling Keegan Murray wasn't playing last night, that he wasn't going to play today. So, you know, you're entering a your coach has already been fired, and you have a team that has some expectations here. On a completely unrelated but completely related scenario, the guy that you've been linked with so much during trades got hurt last night.
That's crazy.
And is going to be out. We have no idea, and we'll continue to monitor it. Just by what we were reading last night, it absolutely looks like he's out for at minimum a month, and it wouldn't be surprising if it stretched out a little bit longer than that. I'm looking at some beat writers right now. No update yet on Cam Johnson. As soon as we have it, we'll pass it along to you, like he is a member of the Sacramento Kings or something. But we will pass it along. So it's a unique combination of very unfortunate and high pressure circumstances for Devin Carter tonight against Memphis and his dad.
Yeah, right. And I think that's, you know, where we step in as media members, as, you know, as fans too, and keep everything in focus, right? Like, because you just laid out everything that's up against this young man, and if he's not Jared McCain, you know, right now, like, it's okay. We don't need to do whatever you want with Monty or whatever, but Devin Carter, we don't need to say, oh, this guy's no good or whatever. Like, he's got a learning curve that he's got to adjust to. And, you know, there's going to be times when he looks good, sometimes where he looks lost out there. That's at least what I'm expecting. Maybe, you know, he defies all that. But I'm going to have expectations of him having traditional ups and downs as a rookie and try not to put pressure on him to change everything. I know me personally, I just want to see him go out there, work hard. He seems to bring energy and physicality just naturally. And if he's bringing that on a night in and night out basis for however long he plays, that's a good start. And that's where I'll leave it. I'd love for him to score 29 and 17 and all this stuff, but I'm not expecting that from him.
The good thing is all of those situations I just laid out, all of those, that's all external. That's not how Doug is talking to him. That's not how Jay or Luke or anyone in that Sacramento Kings facility is talking to him. They're talking to him as a, I'm certain they're talking to him as a, welcome to the league. We're going to get you some minutes. We're going to have some fun. We're going to just going to go play basketball. Your job isn't to fill in, you know, make up for all of Keegan's, you know, what we're missing with Keegan. Your role isn't to save the franchise. Just go play basketball.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very confident that's exactly what Del Christie is telling him today.
Absolutely.
Just go play basketball. Absolutely. You know how to play basketball. Yeah. You know how we run. You know how we play. Just follow your guys out there. Follow De'Aaron. Follow DeMar and Malik and Domas. And you'd be just fine.
Yeah.
And just that, fine. And that crowd's going to pop when he gets that call to the scorer's table and Scott Moak says his name for the first time.
Standing O?
Yeah.
He's a rookie.
Yeah. It'll be quick.
Yeah.
Because it has to be, but I'm assuming he'll get the check in and crowd will pop.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
And this is, you know, once again, not talking about anybody else, just talking about how Doug goes about things. This is where he'll shine. This is where he'll be good for a guy like Devin Carter, because just like how you laid out, you're gonna say, hey man, just play the game. You see a shot, take a shot. I'm not gonna yank you out. I'm not gonna do all that. I want you to
another shot at Mike Brown.
No, this is just about Doug Christie, but you know, I'm gonna let you play, and you're gonna make mistakes, and I want you to play through those mistakes, and I want you to just work hard. And I think that working hard aspect plays into the strengths of Devin Carter. I've only seen him twice in a professional setting, but I've looked at him in Providence and everything, but he just plays physical, aggressive. Sat King's film room had a clip of him last night.
Such a great account.
It really is. Where he did a Davion damn near. Like, he was on one half court possession. He was guarding like four guys and went to all four corners of the court on one defensive possession. And that's just, it just looks natural. It looks like he doesn't have to be taught. He doesn't have to be encouraged to do that. That's just in his DNA of how to play the game of basketball. And if he does that alone, he'll be perfectly fine. Perfectly fine.
Looking at the latest injury report, they actually don't even have Devin Carter not ruled out tonight. He's still ruled out in this game. So there's no update on Keegan Murray. He's still listed as doubtful. If Keegan Murray is out, might not be the worst thing for Doug Christie and the staff. Because if Keegan is out, your only concern, I would imagine, if you're DC, is bodies. I need guys to play. And there's not enough size out there. You're starting Keon Ellis. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You're not the conversation about where Devin's long-term minutes probably doesn't come into play if Keegan Murray is out. It comes into play when Keegan Murray is back and you have your starters back. And I know this is crazy to think about, Kings fans, but you have your full complement of rosters. You have your full complement of players.
Hasn't happened.
I don't think that has happened this year.
I think has it happened once?
I'm sure it's happened once, but it hasn't happened very often.
Early.
No, because Trey was out early, wasn't
he? Trey was out early. Trey just came back, so it might not have happened once.
Yeah, maybe it happened. Maybe it didn't. Yeah. But that's where it becomes, Keon, Malik, De'Aaron, Keegan, everyone's healthy. Okay, now you've got decisions to make. Do I play Kevin and feel it out, or do I go straight to Devin? Do I run a DMP on Kevin Huerter? I do not believe in showcasing, but DMPs is tough. yeah. on a player you're trying to, you know, you're trying to move. So I'm not really sure. So I'm not really sure how that works.
So here's the other aspect of what happened with Cam Johnson. You guys haven't heard, bad rolled ankle last night. And I'll ask you, do you think this much like a trade deadline situation, could this potentially calm everybody down around the roster? I know there's other trades that could be made and other places that the front office could be looking to improve. But Cam Johnson was the one we heard a lot about. And it could be a situation where Cam Johnson's down, doesn't look like he's going to be traded. Hey, you guys are here. Like, don't worry about all that other stuff. You're here as of right now. Play loose, play free. Don't worry about all that other stuff and go out there and play. It could, I mean, maybe because it's not the trade deadline, it's not the same exact thing, but you think that might be the case? Like, one of the biggest chips out there is kind of down. Guys, don't worry about that stuff right now. Like, this is who we have. This is what we're going to go in here and go play with. And as opposed to looking for help, you focus on what you have.
Sure. Yeah, it could, because, you know, moving to trade for a player who's hurt right now could potentially be devastating to your season. Like, if Cam is out 4 to 6 weeks, and let's say something goes right for Sacramento and you trade for him in two. Let's just say everything goes okay the next 2 weeks, and you're not an overall 500 record, but you've played maybe just above 500. But what are they, 4 below now? Let's say they're 3 below in 2 weeks. You're giving up a haul that probably includes Kevin Huerter, probably includes Trey Lyles because it's expiring, and it might very well include Devin Carter. You're off all three of those players.
For a guy that can't play.
For at least 2 to 4 weeks.
Can't do that.
I don't know.
There's no way.
When there's a depth issue, now maybe there's other pieces coming back from Brooklyn that are capable of playing right now, but the piece to make up for you what you've lost isn't there.
Yeah.
And that could be over a 2 week stretch or a 4 week stretch, that could potentially be devastating to your season when you're already 3 games under in this fictitious scenario, 3 games under 500. What if everything goes great and you get back to 500 and make the move? You risk falling back down and having to claw yourself out when it is a brutal situation for everyone involved, for Sacramento. Maybe not so much for Brooklyn, because Brooklyn's like, y'all want him, he's still available.
Right.
We'll just wait for him to get back.
Price is still the price.
It's, ain't going to change.
Right.
Now you get calls today. This is where Sean Marks can show me something, because I think he stinks. Yeah. You getting calls today? No, the price is exactly the same. You might not see him for 6 weeks, but ain't nothing changed. I start playing if I'm Sean Marks, how desperate are you?
Can't be that. When you talk about the Kings.
Oh, you know what? Hey, sorry, Monty. Hang on, man. Rob's calling. In fact, you know what, Monty? It's cool. I'm going to hit you back. I'm going to hit you back because Rob's calling.
I'm going to call you back.
What? Oh, hey, who's it? What's that? Yeah, Mike Dunleavy's on the phone. Oh, okay. Hey, Monty. Wes. I got to go, man. I holla.
He did this. Sean Mark said, this is Monty McNair. Hey, Sally, in 5 minutes,
yeah,
come in here
absolutely.
And tell me Rob's calling on the phone, all right?
100%.
Got you. Yeah. Hey, Monty, how you doing? How you doing?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, walk into every room with the old Grant Napier gimmick and put the phone to your ear, knowing you're not talking to anybody. Just put the phone right up to your ear. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Nah, he's going to be all right. You know, you saw how hard he was. He's having a phenomenal season. Like, Cam's,
yes,
I'm off the phone, by the way, for those on the radio. I'm off the phone.